Our Advent series is entitled All I Really Want. We're exploring over these weeks leading up to Christmas the things that you can't wrap in a box, the things that you can't put on a list for your loved ones to buy for you, you can't even put it on an Amazon wish list, the things that are deep within you, the things that you really want, the things that may enrich your life in a way that all the things we will unwrap later this month could never really do. And as we go through that, we've been going through the Advent devotional called All I Really Want, which is by Quinn Caldwell. If anybody is following along in that, it's a daily devotional, and I'm pulling some inspiration out of that as we worship each week. This week, we are going to read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35, the first 10 verses. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, from whatever wilderness we come, from whatever dry, parched ground we have been walking, we know that you call us to this refreshing spring, this oasis of promise, this Advent hope for peace among your children. And so, God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit, that it would be at work in this place, that it would bring this word of yours to life, that it would open our hearts and minds so that we may be shaped as your people. A people bold enough to live in a world that seems inhospitable to life. Now, O God, we pray that you would speak in me, through me, and if need be, in spite of me. Amen. This week, my friend and a colleague that I respect deeply, her name is Robin. Robin had a daughter named Millie with her husband Jordan 14 months ago. And at 2 days old, Millie needed a surgical procedure, which was expected to be minor, except there was a mistake in the operating room. And Millie had to be resuscitated on the operating table, and her brain was deprived of oxygen for enough time to result in a traumatic brain injury. And those first days of Millie's life were precarious, and her life hung in the balance. And none of us who love Robin and her husband Jordan were sure that Millie would survive. Even the doctors were not sure that Millie would survive. In those days, some of you who were around back then may remember that I asked you to pray for them. Robin and Jordan went from the joy of a baby girl to concern about this procedure to shock and grief in a matter of hours. And to make matters worse, in those first days, they had to repeat the surgery since it had not been successful the first time. And no one knew in those days what would happen, how Millie's brain would respond or recover, or if it would heal. And so in those days, she became known as Wonder Millie. Not only because Millie seemed capable of things that others were sure she shouldn't be capable of, but because of the strength and resilience that Millie possessed. And so Wonder Woman toys and clothes and signs were in almost all of Millie's pictures that you would see her with. There was the Wonder Woman insignia somewhere. There's Wonder Millie. And so friends and acquaintances near and far sent paper cranes with prayers on them, which surrounded Millie in the NICU. And eventually Millie was released from the hospital and she went home. And time revealed that Millie had hearing loss, Millie had vision impairment, Millie had motor skill delays, Millie couldn't eat by mouth. And so every day, facing Millie's challenges with her, her parents faced the tragedy of that day, the full spectrum of emotions, living over and over again what happened to their child. And yet, Millie persisted. Millie wiggled, as children do. Millie defied the odds time and again. She achieved more than what anyone in the medical profession would have ever dared to hope that she would achieve. She did what babies do. She rolled and she reached and she grabbed and she explored the way that we love to see children do. She petted her pup, Stella. She played with toys. She liked bubbles. More than that, everybody who ever came across Millie was grabbed by her toughness and by her sheer resilience in the face of all of the unfair and the unyielding obstacles that a person should have to face in their lifetime. Millie faced them within the first few days of her life. But Millie kept getting sick. And there were seemingly constant bouts with pneumonia and viruses that would put Millie in the hospital on a ventilator. And she would be dependent on the ventilator, and she would gradually be weaned from it because she was just so tough. And on Thanksgiving, Millie went into the hospital with a nasty virus. And she battled and she fought. But early this week, Robin and Jordan were faced with the decision to place their child in hospice care. And on Thursday, Millie laid down this life, full of so many contradictions for her and for all of us. And she took up a new life. And so in the midst of all of us who love them grieving, Robin wrote this on Wonder Millie's Facebook page. After a few days of comfort and rest, our beloved Millie finally opened her eyes this afternoon. She had so much wonder and surprise on her face, but she looked into mine and Jordan's eyes, gave a little squeak, and with a Wonder Millie twinkle in her beautiful blue eyes, she breathed out all the struggle of this past year and truly rested. Our sweet, strong girl loved bubbles and petting her puppy. She loved playing with daddy's whiskers and mommy's hair, brought her so much delight. She was constantly wiggling and scooting and loved people, especially other children. She would surprise us with her strength and courage when things seemed impossible. She loved her baths so much it required both Jordan and I to tackle those splashes and wiggles. She also taught us how to love and how to be loved. She was a better community organizer than any of us could hope to be. We are so incredibly blessed by Millie and by the community that she surrounded herself and us with. We will always be grateful to Millie for making us parents and to you all for loving us so wonderfully. We will need you now in the weeks and months ahead as we put our lives back together, but we also need you to keep loving and living as the Wonder Millie team, for our world needs more folks like you. For now, please love each other and share joy and bubbles. We think that life exists on a knife's edge. You think that it is a precarious thing, and that with the whisper or a moment that it can change and be gone. You think that life must end the way that it does for all of us at some point or another, in some circumstance or another. For some of us, it will end naturally at the appointed time when we are old and gray and wrinkly. For some of us, maybe it will end tragically and all too soon. Maybe we will let go of life easily, or maybe we will not let go of it so easily. But really, as fragile as life is, it also persists. Life persists in the most inhospitable conditions, in the harshest deserts, in the most sweltering places on the earth where there is almost no water, in the middle of the Australian outback, where if your car breaks down, you have hours to live. There is life. There is something that has figured out how to live in that environment. Life persists. In the Arctic, where harsh and frigid winds blow across the ice, where bitterly cold temperatures would give you or I frostbite within minutes, there are penguins that go waddling across the ice. Through the wind. Ridiculous that life exists in such a place and beautiful all at once. There's a small invertebrate that is called the water bear, and it is capable of surviving low temperatures near absolute zero. That's negative 379 degrees Fahrenheit. It can survive that. It can also survive temperatures near 302 degrees Fahrenheit. How does life persist in conditions such as these? There's a beetle called the red flat-barked beetle. It lives here in North Carolina in our climate. But you can also find it in the Arctic Circle because it can withstand temperatures of negative 72 degrees Fahrenheit. How? It accumulates antifreeze. Glycerol, the stuff that they make for you to put in your car, it takes that into its tissue. How? Life persists in the most inhospitable of circumstances. For life to persist, to exist in these circumstances where we are is one thing. It's miraculous. It's tenuous. All of us, our hearts beating in our chest, are one beat to another. That's how tenuous this life is, even in a controlled, climate-controlled environment. Even with carpet and padded chairs and clothes that guard against the somewhat chilly afternoon outside our doors. But for life to persist when the environment itself seems designed not to sustain it, as if this environment was not created, was not designed for something to live here, and yet something does. So you could call this a lot of different names. You could call it the evolution of species. You could call it survival of the fittest. And it is all those things, but it is also evidence that God wills life for the world. That even in the midst of our individual tragedies, the long arc of life is irrepressible. You could call it a lot of things. I would call it testimony to the truth of resurrection. That not even death itself can stomp out life. You know, when you were a kid and you were playing in the pool and you would try to push something down under the water, try to sink it, and then it would slide out from under your hand and come rushing back up to the surface. This is life on the planet Earth. No matter how much brokenness breaks out, no matter how much in the midst of our xenophobia, homophobia, Islamophobia, no matter how many times we try to push life underneath the surface, God intends for there to be life and it will come up. No matter how many times we try to make the earth itself inhospitable to our own very selves, life persists. And if it were not so, how else could you explain, my good friend, writing those words that I read to you on the day that her daughter slipped from this life? How else could you explain it other than to say that even in our deepest grief and even in our most profound sorrow, even when our hearts and minds cannot grasp fully why we still insist on life, God carves a path through the wilderness. God carves a path, a way out of no way, life where we were sure there could not be any life. How else do you explain this 14 months of Wonder Millie? About 13 months and 2 days longer than anyone thought she would have. How else do you explain the spirit that even though she is gone, the spirit of Wonder Millie lives on? It persists even in the hearts and minds of people. That even in the midst of our sorrow and our grief, there have been those of us who loved her posting pictures on Facebook, blowing bubbles with our children. How do you explain the resiliency of joy? And the resiliency of faith and the resiliency of life, other than to say that this is what God insists on for our world? How else could we come here on a Sunday after we have seen another mass shooting and hang a banner that says peace on it and light a candle and talk about peace, when there have been more mass shootings in this calendar year than there have been days on the calendar? How else except to say that God means for there to be life in this desert? The scholars say that this passage that I read from Isaiah does not belong here. We don't like to think about it, but there were some people who did some cutting and pasting with the Bible when they were putting it together. And what the scholars say is that whoever cut and pasted this one pasted it wrong. And that actually it belongs in the second part of Isaiah, when the people are in captivity and they need a word of hope and they need a word of comfort, that it belongs there. And it doesn't belong here in this moment. It comes too early. It comes before it makes sense. It comes before hope is logical. And maybe it is out of place. Or maybe we are meant to understand that hope, Advent hope, will not wait until the odds are better. That Advent peace begins to crop up when Advent peace seems the least probable. That God wills life even in conditions most inhospitable to life. That's why I don't know how else to read this passage. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert, where almost nothing can grow, will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will blossom abundantly. And it will rejoice with joy and with singing. And all of those who have been hurting and grieving and wondering will see the glory of the Lord. They will see the majesty of God. What else are we to do at Advent but to look upon Wonder Millie and say that God will strengthen the weak hands and God will make firm the feeble knees. God will say to those who have a fearful heart, who are terrified that our name of our town will be under San Bernardino, will say anything other than, be strong, do not fear, here is your God. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless will sing for joy. In this dry, cracked, thirsty place where you have lived, there will be waters breaking forth in that wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand that has almost consumed you will become the thing, the pool by which you are cooled. A highway shall be there, and it will be called the Holy Way. The unclean will not travel. It shall be for God's people. And the ransomed of the Lord, who have felt that they are outside of the place that God would have them to be, shall be returned and shall come into Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be on their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Advent is this weird season of contradictions. Persistent hope when hope seems foolish. A quiet peace while the world rages outside. The insistence upon life in an environment that seems inhospitable to it. We are waiting for a Savior that has already come. And so we live into this season of contradictions. My children were, I think, trying to figure out why I was about to break their ribs on Thursday night. Squeezing them. And you can be consumed by that. But what God makes possible through the prophets is for us to blow bubbles. To carry on this way with joy. Because God has created life in such a way that we don't need to see the whole highway that stretches out before us in this wilderness. We just need to see the beginning of the pavement. And we don't need enough water for the whole journey. We just need a few drops for today. Because life persists. It moves on. It will not be stopped. And so we are a both and people. We can walk in grief and not be defeated by it. We can walk in sadness and still claim joy. We can be broken by violence and still declare peace. We can say our despairs and still hold fast to hope. This life will hold it all, because that's how God made it. Amen.